This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening and welcome to the No Name Ever podcast. This is the preview show, looking ahead to a massive game away at Selhurst Park. Will Palace get the new manager bounce, or will Burnley finally start marching towards 19th place? This is the No Name Ever podcast.
No Name Ever podcast!
Now, as usual, we've got the main man, Statman Dave, here. But as you probably realised, Natalie isn't with us. She's away in London, so she's actually doing some scouting down before the Palace game. So it's Adam here hosting this week. How are you feeling, Dave, after the other... Well, I think that's the first time I've come away really, really dejected from a game, because it was just quite negative from start to finish, weren't it, to be honest?
Yeah, it can't get any worse, can it? Can it?
I hope not.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, we've had disappointing results this season, and you can kind of take that to some extent, but to have such a disappointing performance and then the result, I mean, it's not that often we ship five goals at all, never mind at Turf Moor. I mean, I posted a stat out saying the last time we'd lost by five clear goals in a match at Turf Moor was Manchester City, 6-1 in April 2010. And on that day, Vincent Kompany and Craig Bellamy were on the score sheet for Manchester City. So, yeah, it doesn't happen that often, and we need to make sure that hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we don't want it happening two times in a row like it did back in 98-99 as well. That obviously, another 25 years ago now, the Gillingham and Man City games. Yeah. But that still haunts me from my childhood. But yeah, that's enough for now. I think the guys on the analysis show gave a really good balanced view of it the other week. But it really does feel during the week. But it really does feel like a last chance saloon at Palace this week. And then in the next few games, I know we've said it a few times this season, but it looks like a few games that we should be able to at least compete in, despite the flat performance last week. So let's look ahead to that game, Dave. What have you got for us first? The match results summary?
Yeah, we're looking back at previous match results, and specifically our away league matches. 23 previous away league matches against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park have provided us with almost as many Burnley wins as defeats. If we could somehow remember how to win a match again this weekend, it would leave us with a very satisfying and symmetrical 8 wins, 8 draws and 8 defeats. As it is, there have been 7 previous Burnley away wins so far at Palace in the league, and goals have not exactly flowed, with 4 previous matches amongst those 23 ending goalless. The tally stands in terms of goals, 20 scored and 26 conceded. We managed 2 victories in the First Division in the early 1970s, 2 in the Championship in the early 2000s, with the 3 remaining wins being in recent seasons in the Premier League. In fact, our 7 previous away trips to Selhurst Park in the Premier League have resulted in just 2 defeats and 2 draws, as well as the 3 victories. one of which we will revisit in our next feature.
Right. I think we've done all right there, haven't we? And even the season where we were notoriously bad away from home, we managed to get a win there. Is that one
we
that you're going to come
on
to?
That later, yes.
Right. I won't do any spoilers then. So next up, is it the one to remember and one to forget?
We're going to focus on a couple of past matches, which are memorable for very contrasting reasons in our One to Remember and One to Forget feature. And as is usually the case, we're going to start with the One to Forget, try and get that out of the way first. Our heaviest defeat in a league match at Selhurst Park, or in any match there, in fact, was a 5-0 reverse in the last match of the 2007-2008 season against an Eagles side managed by Neil Warnock. Burnley's Clark Carlisle was sent off and conceded a penalty after just 7 minutes, and he was downhill from then on. Goals from Ben Watson, Victor Moses and Tom Soares give the home side a 3-0 lead at the interval, and they added to that with further goals from Scott Sinclair and Clinton Morrison in the second half. 883 Clarets fans were present to see the debacle, and the headline in Chris Bowden's match report rather aptly was, "Clarets not glad all over," referencing the title of the Palace Club anthem. Who would have thought after this heavy loss and another diabolical 4-1 defeat at Sheffield Wednesday in the opening league match of the following season, that Owen Coyle would go on to guide the Clarets to the promised land of the Premier League with the 1-0 win over Sheffield United in the playoff final at Wembley in May 2009. So next up, we've got match two. So we've got one to remember now. For once, we're spoilt for choice in our one to remember, with three away wins in Premier League away matches. Two of those three were played behind closed doors, though. We had a 1-0 win in July 2020. That was thanks to a Ben Mee header, remember them, as well as an emphatic 3-0 victory in February 2021 with a marvellous solo goal from Matt Lowton, if you recall. But we're going to focus on a match from late April 2017. We were winless in 17 previous away matches in the league that season, picking up just four draws and suffering 13 defeats on our travels. But thankfully, that was when we could win, at least rely on winning some matches at home. The Sky cameras were at Selhurst Park for a Saturday tea time kickoff, with Sean Dyche's side desperate for a win to try and pull away from the bottom three. We took an early lead in just the seventh minute, after Stephen Ward's cross seemed to get tangled in Ashley Barnes's legs before he recovered and forced a shot past Wayne Hennessy, future Claret, in the Palace goal. It remained tense and the score stayed that way until 5 minutes from the end. George Boyd intercepted a pass and played a through ball for substitute Andre Gray, who advanced and finished with a powerful low shot to double our lead, and there was no way back to the home side after that. It's always a pleasure to get the better of a Sam Allardyce side, and the 3 points that day were the impetus we needed to ensure survival with a 16th place finish, despite only picking up one more point from the remaining three matches of that season.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I think there were a few seasons like that where we secured survival and then tailed off, but I'd snap your hand off for that this year, to be honest.
Definitely.
Next up is the opposition view. We like to get our opposition fans on. And this week, it's Lee Holmes from FYP Fanzine. Take it away, Lee.
Hi, guys. This is Lee from Palace Podcast 5-Year Plan to give some thoughts from our side ahead of the game on Saturday. Obviously, it's been quite a dramatic week or two for us with Roy Hodgson getting the sack and our new manager, Oliver Glasner, coming in. I think for most of us, there's just a bit of a disappointment that it's ended this way with Roy. The reality is we didn't do enough business in the summer. We lost our greatest ever player in Wilfried Zaha. We knew Michael Olise would be injured for the first few months of the season. You know, we'd lost really experienced squad players like James McArthur and Luka Milivojevic and just didn't replace them. So I think Roy was dealt a very difficult hand with the squad he was given. The way things went, it almost got to the point where he had to go. You know, games like losing at home to Bournemouth in December is probably one of the most toxic atmospheres I've felt at Palace for years. Roy had made a few comments that didn't go down well with the fan base, and I think it got very tense. You know, we haven't actually been in the relegation zone at any point this season, but I think everyone is very aware that there tends to be one team a season. You know, for example, you guys a couple of years ago, where before the season starts, no one's saying they expect that team to get relegated, but they kind of almost sleepwalk to relegation. And it felt like that quite a few points this season. As I said, you can't blame Roy for the squad he had, but it almost felt like he'd written off any game where Eze or Elise weren't playing, and felt like he made it very aware to the rest of the squad that he didn't really expect us to win games if those two weren't playing, or at least one of them wasn't playing. The strange thing is, I think things got to their worst away at Brighton, but when we played Chelsea a week or two ago, you know, I think everyone had kind of decided that, well, if Roy is staying on, then we just need to get behind him and behind the players. But I think the decision had probably already been made, and it was just a case of getting Glasner over the line. So yeah, a sad end to Roy's time at the club. I think there's definitely a feeling of positivity with the new manager, Oliver Glasner. You know, it's obviously a risk bringing someone in with no experience in the Premier League and essentially sacking a manager that in previous seasons we've literally bought in for the specific reason of saving us from relegation. So there's obviously a level of risk, but I think Palace fans just wanted something to be hopeful and positive about. The one thing is there'll be a good atmosphere at Selhurst Park on Saturday, which hasn't necessarily been the case as much as previous seasons. It's probably going to be very similar to the game earlier in the season at Turf Moor, where probably going to come down to which team makes a mistake first, if there is a goal. I mean, probably a high chance of a 0-0 draw, but if there is a goal, it's probably going to come down to a mistake rather than anything else. With Eze and Elise, we're a comfortable mid-table Premier League team. Without them, we're, you know, a relegation candidate. And unfortunately, Elise's definitely out. Eze seemed like he was potentially coming back, but that's now sounding less likely. I think our team will probably be very similar to the one at Everton the other day. So Johnston in goal, Munoz and Mitchell playing as wing backs, Anderson, Richards and Ward as centre backs, Lerma and Wharton central midfield, and then Edouard, Mateta and Ayew up front. In terms of a score prediction, my heart's saying 1-0 to Palace, but I think there's a high chance of a 1-0 to Burnley. But either way, I'm not expecting a particularly high standard of football.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And next up, Dave, is the referee. Who's in charge this weekend?
Well, we've got a new kid on the block this weekend. I say kid, but relative newcomer Lewis Smith of Wigan is actually 30 years old and will be in charge on Saturday afternoon. However, he's not the youngest official to be given the responsibility of refereeing a Premier League match. That record belongs to Michael Oliver, who was just 25 when he did so back in 2010. Still around these days, of course. Lewis Smith is not yet a Select One Group official, but was appointed to take charge of his first Premier League match last weekend. That was for Aston Villa's visit to play Fulham at Craven Cottage and showed a total of 7 yellow cards. Time will tell if he continues his progression to become a regular at this level and earns a promotion to the Select One Group for next season. Also, for the third occasion this season, it'll be Michael Salisbury's turn to be the video assistant referee for one of our matches.
I think Rich mentioned on the group chat that he knows Lewis Smith.
Does
so he? We might have to get him tapped up, although he wasn't too complimentary, so maybe not. Right, onto the game then. I know you're not a fan of this phrase, but surely this is a must-win, Dave.
Well, we've got a series of probably 4 games coming up, haven't we? And we need to... I wouldn't say Saturday in isolation is a must-win, but we need to get points on the board in the next four games. We need to get maybe three wins from the four, something like that. And if you lose the first game, then you know you're up against it. So it'd be nice to get a win on the board down at Palace, which has been, as we said already, a reasonably good ground for us in the past. Their record isn't brilliant. They've obviously had a change of manager. That can sometimes go one way or another, can't it? You know, they can have a new manager bounce, or you know, the problems can continue. They've had a tough season, although they've had enough wins to kind of keep away from it, haven't they, in terms of their position in the table. But it's not unsurmountable that Burnley can catch them. It's something we're probably going to have to do, and we have to beat the teams around us. So it's a prime opportunity to get 3 points. But every game's tough in the Premier League. We know, wins have been hard to come by at home, very hard to come by at home. We've had more success away from home, but it's just not been good enough in terms of results. We need to get some results on the board to give ourselves a fighting chance, because there's a lot of talk out there in terms of Nottingham Forest potentially getting a points deduction. We've not heard that yet. But it seems to be sort of baked in, I think, from a lot of the press saying that that's going to happen. We're expecting the result of Everton's appeal coming up. If not this week, then we reckon probably next week by the end of the month to confirm what's happening there. Plus the situation with Everton's potential points deduction again for the season after. In terms of they've had one points deduction, it could hit them again. So it'd be nice to know where we stand from that point of view. But until we do, we've got to kind of keep playing on with that in our back of our minds to say, well, you know, it's you can only do what you can do on the pitch, but other situations might contribute to helping that out. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I agree. I think any other season, if you have this points tally from this many games, you're already doomed. But with those situations coming up, you've still got to say there is a fighting chance, if there's any fight left in us. It didn't look like there were last week, but Palace have got injuries as well. They've got a lot of key players out. You don't, like, obviously you say the new manager bounce, but I don't really know much about this guy. And like I say, with the key players missing, even if you try and change too much, is that going to be of detriment to them? So there is still hope. I think we definitely need to get a win this weekend, but I'm not too disheartened that we can't, to be honest. Have you got any thoughts on the team news? You'd think there'd have to be changes. Obviously, Ramsey's got a bad injury now. Are there any other changes that you'd make? We've probably got limited options up top with Foster injured, but is there anyone you'd like to see come into the side?
Well, I guess there's the possibility, isn't there, of Charlie Taylor starting the match. See what happens there. As you say, Lyle Foster isn't going to be available. Bayer, we suspect, isn't going to be... we think he's working his way back. We don't think he's going to be available, I don't think, for Saturday. So it might be, well, as you say, certainly one change. Ramsey will be replaced. Who's he going to put in? Maybe Johan Berg-Gudmundsson's going to come back in there just for a bit of stability, perhaps. I don't know. He's not got too many options, I don't think, to make too many changes. I think it may well be one, maybe two changes, and that will be it. Because we were critical early in the season, weren't we, that there was maybe four or five changes every game and we couldn't get a settled side. Prior to Arsenal, we had looked more promising, even though we hadn't got the results in some very tough games, particularly the Liverpool game. We'd done pretty well in that game, and it turned on, you know, one chance we could have had to equalise again. And then, you know, they went down and scored, and it's a different game, isn't it? But it's tough. I mean, Luton saw that in midweek, didn't they? They took the lead at Anfield. And then, you know, they've shipped four goals, so it's very easy for that to happen.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that as well. I'm probably blinded by last Saturday, but yeah, you are right. We were well in the game away at Liverpool, and I don't think it wasn't wave after wave like it was when I watched them against Luton last night. So yeah, you've got to consider that. Hopefully, Arsenal is the anomaly performance wise, and we can pick up from them last 10, 15 minutes against Fulham, and then the performance at Liverpool. Any predictions?
You hope we're going to try and get a positive result. To predict a Burnley away win is perhaps going to be very optimistic. I think it might be a draw, but I think Burnley have a chance of getting a win, and we've got to go for it. We've got to go for it on Saturday. Play positive football and hopefully get the sort of performance we had against Liverpool, and to get a positive result against a team that's not as good as Liverpool, and not do what we did last week. Because if we have the sort of performance we had last week, then you know we're not going to get anything out of the game, are we? Basically,
no. No, that's right. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win just to try and lift my own spirits, if anything, nothing else. Next up, bit of fun. The fans' favourite feature, the famous fans. So who have we got for Palace? And have we had any scores submitted from our No Name Ever panellists?
We did, yes. We had some scores coming through, which I'll go through the names first, then give a bit of a summary of the scores, then you and I will maybe try and get to a compromise what we think on the overall score. The six famous fans, actually the seven, because the bonus one in there. Starting off with veteran actor Bill Nighy. He's aged 74, was born in Surrey, and he's known for a variety of roles on stage, television and film, winning two BAFTAs, one Golden Globe, and countless more award nominations over the years. As well as being a long-time supporter of Crystal Palace, he's also a patron of the Crystal Palace Children's Charity. Timothy Spall is another actor, now aged 66, who came to prominence in the 1980s in the role of Barry Taylor in the ITV comedy drama Alfieda's Own Pet. He had a long and successful career in TV and film, including as Brian Clough's assistant, Peter Taylor, in The Damned United. Having been born in Battersea, which is quite close to Crystal Palace, Chelsea and Fulham, he started out as a Chelsea fan in his childhood, was eventually converted to Palace by his dad, and has been a vocal follower of the Eagles ever since. Apologies for this week's list being very actor-heavy, but next up we've got two for the price of one again, with a couple of actors who starred in the TV comedy series The In-Betweeners from 2008 to 2010, as well as two spin-off films. James Buckley played Jay Cartwright, and Simon Bird portrayed Will McKenzie, and it was the latter who uttered a much-quoted line regarding his like for football but his dislike for Burnley after hearing the chants of a group of Clarets fans on a coach in Greece during the first In-Betweeners movie. 62-year-old Eddie Izzard is a comedian, actor, again, an activist, as well as raising money for Comic Relief by running 43 marathons in 51 days. A role as a full-time politician may be the next aim, although a couple of attempts to become a Labour Party candidate for the next general election have so far proved unsuccessful. A lifelong love for Crystal Palace was formalised with an appointment as an associate director at Sellers Park back in 2012. We can move away from the acting world for our final two names. Our penultimate famous fan is another regular in South London, the former Radio 1 DJ, David Kidd Jensen. However, despite his long-term nickname, the Kid is now 73 years old. In terms of his Palace credentials, he's the chairman of the Vice President's Club at Sellers Park and also acted as an ambassador for the consortium which purchased the club from administrators in 2010. Finally, 63-year-old Kevin Day is a stand-up comedian and writer who also co-presents the Price of Football podcast with football finance guru and Brighton fan Kieran Maguire. They help to keep alive the rivalry between the clubs, which we must never, ever refer to as the A23 or M23 derby, as the Palace fans really don't like it.
Very good. And how did our panellists score those celebrities?
I think we had a mix. I think we had quite a few of solid eights in there, and I think a seven as well. I'd be angling more towards a seven, more because I don't tend to look at them in isolation. I tend to think back on the other lists we've had. I think this is perhaps not quite up to the scratch of some of the ones we've given eight before. So my view would be a seven if I was to choose.
Well, I was the 1-7 in that bunch of scores. So I'm quite happy with us adjudicating and bringing it down to a seven. The reason I did was more to do with the variety in there. So yeah. Obviously the quite actor heavy. And a couple of them before my time. I think Bill Nighy has been 74 for the last 20 years in my head. But yeah, I think seven's a fair reflection.
Yeah, fair enough.
Any other features from you, Dave, or are we on to the FPL?
Just on to the FPL if you want to give us our FPL update.
Yeah, I've not got a full update because we did that last week with Natalie and Claret FPL. So there's no Friday or Saturday lunchtime kickoff this weekend. So you have a little bit longer to tinker with your Fantasy Premier League team ahead of game week 26. This means that the deadline for transfers, team changes and chips will be 1:30 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, 90 minutes before the four matches, which kick off at 3 p.m, including Burnley's game at Selhurst Park. We wish all of the manager who are taking part this season, especially those of you in the No Name Never League, the best of luck in navigating the next few tricky game weeks, which includes plenty of blanks and doubles. May your arrows be green this time next week. So yeah, as briefly mentioned there, we've got four teams not playing this weekend. So Chelsea, Spurs, Liverpool and Luton because of the Carabao Cup final between Chelsea and Liverpool. I'm sure a few managers will be opening the teams up and wondering where all the fixtures are, but there are a few things that can help you with that, like the free hit chip, but you're probably going to need that further down the line if you can help save it. We will do another podcast in the next couple of weeks to go through chip strategies once we get all the FA Cup results. So the rest of the season's fixtures will become a bit clearer after that. Are you missing it this year, Dave?
What's that? The Fantasy Premier League?
I'm missing yours and Natalie's banter. She's actually doing all right this year, you know.
I just took a little bit of a break for it because it can get a little bit intense. So maybe I'm sort of reserving myself for next season.
Well, there's not been as many heart over head decisions this year as normal. I'm normally tempted to put quite a lot of Burnley players in, but that's not really happened as much this season. That's one positive. Any community news or any other business from you?
No, I think we do that quite a bit for the home matches. There's quite a bit more on, but not so much for the away matches, just to say good luck and safe travels to all the Burnley fans going down to Selhurst Park on Saturday. Hopefully the team can get a positive result. We have had some good matches down there in the past, and hopefully this Saturday is going to be one to add to the list.
Very good. I think that's a nice way to finish. The guys will be back early next week with the analysis show, hopefully analysing our first win in a while and on our march to survival. But in the meantime, I hope you all have a great weekend and see you all next week. Up the Clarets.
The No Name Never podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The Analysis Show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.